Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Jeannie, and I represent all women. We don't like Adam Carter.
I'm a horrible human being.
Oh, goody. Look who's back.
I just wanted to be left alone to suffer this great tragedy.
That really is the calling card for this show. Left alone to suffer this great tragedy. This is about commitment. That's what this show is all about. Adam Carter, not committed. Lindsey Gentzel, not committed. Me, should be committed. Shaletta confirming that I should be committed.
I signed a paperwork.
Yeah. Well, is that why these two police officers are right outside the door saying, hey, you goofy looking one.
Mm-hmm. Let's go, buddy.
Come over here. Yeah, they seem to have some gloves on. I'm not sure about that. Hey, we're here until 3. Unless somebody comes in and knocks on the door and says, hit the road, which always could happen. I prefer not. I'd like to stay, but you never know. Because I did just receive a piece of mail. I don't check my mail that often. Shaletta, did you check your mail here that often?
Not here because, no. Mm-mm.
How often do you check? Because do you know where overrated, underrated, properly rated is? Hey, Dave, we might need to show Shaletta where overrated, underrated,
yes,
properly
please.
Rated is.
Yeah.
I think checking your mail every day is overrated. I don't check my mail. Do you check your mail every day?
At the house, yeah. At work, no. I check my mail every day.
Every day.
We have one of those mailboxes that's on the street. And so I check it every day so nobody will go in and get any surprises.
You got a lot of cash coming in at all? I mean, because if you do, give me your address real quick.
Some dead uncle might decide he wants to send me something.
Wow.
I want to get it.
Sounds like you're wishing the death of your uncle. Is your uncle Jeff Bezos?
Man,
he can adopt me right now.
Yes, yeah. Me and the kids.
And the wife.
And the husband, everybody.
The new wife.
Yeah.
I don't know, they all can adopt
the old
me.
Old wife, everybody.
Yeah, anybody. I don't know, even if your name Bezos, I don't know. Laura Oaks is here. Do you check your mail every day, Laura?
Here?
No, here, no way, right?
No, here, I don't even get mail here. I get, once in a while, I get like a packet of information from some place that has no relevance to me.
Yeah.
But every day at home, I check
you
my mail.
You do check, yeah,
oh,
see,
yeah.
I don't. I
Why don't you check your mail
I'm hiding.
Every day?
I'm
you
hiding from things.
You never know who's sending you something.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. Who's sending me things? It's a summons. It's a legal situation. I received something today, and it may have been, who knows, from like 2 weeks ago. I don't know. Where it basically said, just so you know, when you come in the air, I turn the radio off right away. And then he went through a list, I should show this guy, of the 75 things I've said that he doesn't like. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a second. If I come on the air and he turns me off, how does he know these 75 things I've said? First of all, very comprehensive notes. Very, very comprehensive notes, but very mixed message. So, Tom, I think you are actually listening, but I did receive your email. What do we got for today? We're going to start with football because it may have been the greatest championship Sunday ever. Two overtime games, and the controversy was phenomenal. I am all for controversial calls. It only makes it better. I get it if you're a Saints fan, you're devastated right now. Carter did send me a video of a guy who watches the kick that which won the game, and the guy just punches his TV right in there, and it goes to the floor. Are you guys ever that committed about anything outside of a family member's like health situation where you literally would punch your TV and it would go to the ground?
No. Mm-mm. I spent too much money on that TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, now you can get a TV at Super America for like $10. I mean, seriously, the flat screen TVs are like nothing, aren't they? I don't even. Maybe they're all setups now, but we can't play this one because there is some serious swearing. But we will get in the NFL multiple times today on MLK Day. We had a sweet guest lined up, but the Shaletta booked it for another show.
So this is what happened. Yeah. I didn't know I was going to be working today. I have MLK
can't
projects.
Trust her.
At home with my kids on Mondays, told the boss, don't call me because I'm with my kids for MLK Day. It's a special day for us.
Right.
And he called.
yep.
and said, hey, can you come in? Well, I had already talked to Dan Cook about a really special guest. And so once I found out I was coming in, I was like, oh, let me see if Chad wants to talk to him.
And what did I say?
And you said, great.
Yeah, sounds like a great idea.
So I called Dan and say, hey, Dan, I'm taking my guest back because I'm coming in. And Dan says, I've already booked.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Who is this man?
So in other words, well, you tell the story. So, like, well, it's a great story.
It's a great little girl. She's a robotics champ, a young little African-American girl named Peyton. She's in sixth grade at Breck School.
I just saw her speak.
And she, yes, she yes. is speaking at the MLK celebration at the Ordway. The governor hand-selected her because of all the things she's done in STEM. And she is actually introducing Dr. Mae Jamison, who yes. is the keynote speaker for today's MLK celebration. Yep. And so I thought it would be great to have her and her dad on to talk about how she got yep. so involved. Involved in STEM and speaking
no.
on behalf of Dr.
But no.
King and
Benedict
his,
Arnold Cook
legacy.
Over there. You know what Cook is to us? Dead.
Well,
he's dead to us.
I think the overarching problem here is all of our sick people.
Yes.
Right.
Well.
I mean, I'm here because Adam's sick. She's yeah. here because Lindsay's sick.
Right.
Something's going around this building and it's just no good.
Yeah.
Let me get my lights all out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I'm just getting better. Well, to a certain degree. But that'll be a good guest with Paul and Jordana. We're going to talk multiple things along with the NFL. I want to get to that real quick here. We talked a lot last week about Jordan and Patrick Henry, what happened when they played, what happened with the Trump banner. Now Jordan was scheduled to play a game here in the area. They're not. That fallout is still continuing. Larry McKenzie, the Minneapolis North coach, who's spoken out on issues like this before. Larry's going to join us at 12:35. Special education means a lot to Shalette and I with what's going on in our lives. And there was a rather concerning story in the Star Tribune yesterday about special education funding. A good guest on that topic. But let's get to Laura Oakes right now, who's in. By the way, it looks like she just got in from the outside. I mean, are you that cold? In
yes. The newsroom, there's a breeze in the newsroom. And, you know, I sit right by the window. So I have layers.
You look. You look very sharp.
Off. Well, thank you.
You look very. But you look like you're ready for like the tailgate or something. Maybe we should.
I could do that.
Maybe we should just go get some hot toddy.
Yes.
Shaletta, do you have do you like a hot toddy?
I definitely do.
We do have a bar in the building. We once did try to get four hot toddies and take them upstairs.
And?
From Dan Kelly. They wouldn't let us.
Didn't they do that in the old days? The guys that worked here would have a like 4-hour lunch downstairs and then come on back up here and do the news after several cocktails.
Yeah.
I bet that was a business.
Let's start it now. Let's re-up that plan. Here is Laura with the update right now. When Shaletta's here, I say, you play whatever you want, and I'm into this. This is good. Shaletta's spinning the tunes today. Adam and Lindsay both out. We expect both back tomorrow. If not, we'll go for it. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, management comes in and says
well,
no.
You know, they stop a party in a minute.
Okay. I locked into football yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've said for a while now, I think the best weekend of football is the previous week because you get four games.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you get four mm-hmm. games, you get the Saturday, Sunday, and then you think, well, if I get two of the four, it's great. We had two amazing games yesterday, two controversial games,
mm-hmm.
great play, horrible officiating, brilliant coaching, awful coaching, and guess what? The NFL is only better when you have controversy, when people are mad. Now, I'm going to toss this out, and I need some sports historians to help me out here. The Saints lose on an indisputably horrendous call. And by the way, I'm the one who so often says, Shaletta, stop blaming the officials.
Okay.
Stop blaming the officials.
That's you.
Normally, that is me 99 out of 100 times. Close circuit to the Wolves, the one team I still care about here in town. They complain way too much. Even when there's bad calls, shut up. Okay, just play, right? And that's what I feel most of the time in sports, no matter the sport. Because there's all sorts of other plays you can make.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's at that point in the game, when it was both a pass interference, clear cut, without question, pass interference, or take your pick, either the helmet to helmet or defenseless receiver without a shred of doubt. Either call could have been made. They get the first down. They take the knee three times. They kick the ball. The game is over. The championship is over. So I am the one who now will say, in this game, the Saints were bleeped. I can't say it, or else we'd be off the air. Can you think of a team, texters, callers, where in back-to-back years, a team has ever lost in that gut to the stomach, gut punch to the larynx? I guess gut to the stomach, punch to the gut, punch to the stomach. Sucking the life out of you. Two straight seasons. One ends with the Diggs play. The Minneapolis Miracle last year. Let's not forget. And we're not forgetting here. You have that play. When the game's over, Saints are gone. Saints are going to the NFC Championship game. They're going to face the Eagles. And then the craziest play in Vikings history happens. And now this. Shaletta, I'm all in the history of sports. The history of sports, from darts to lawn bowling to bridge to croquet to football, any sport possible, that no team has ever lost back-to-back seasons that way. Ever. Somebody top me. Somebody beat me that a team has lost Minneapolis Miracle to official incompetence to the nth degree. I can't think of a comparable situation.
The only thing I can think of right now are University of Houston's Phi Slamma Jamma. Hakeem Olajuwon, right. Clyde Drexler, and the way that they lost to Jimmy V's team.
Right.
And then the way that they lost to Georgetown.
I think there might have been a year in between.
A year between? Okay.
I think.
Because that still hurts.
Right, that hurts.
I'm a U of H alumnus. So.
Oh, okay. So they,
so it really, it's a gut punch. So I know what you're talking about when you say gut punch.
Right.
That hurt.
Right. Now, the NC State game is one of the most famous games of all, right? And then when they lost a couple years later, that was just, I don't want to say it was a beatdown, but it was a thorough victory.
Yes, it was.
For Georgetown. It
yes,
wasn't
it, was.
It wasn't just a crazy – I know somebody said Bills 4 in a row losing Super Bowl.
Oh.
Okay, now I get that,
yeah.
Right, because you had Scott Norwood the first one. But I'm saying back-to-back seasons. Somebody said the Vikings, you know, for 60 years. Nope. They never had it back-to-back. That would be like you had Blair Walsh's miss and the Favre interception – back-to-back, or the Drew Pearson push-off somewhere in there. I'm just saying back-to-back seasons, it's never happened before. Now, are you with me that this only makes the NFL more popular?
Oh, yeah, because we're talking about it.
Exactly.
And we're not talking about the controversy or the knee or, you know, patriotism or anything like that. We're talking about the game and the emotions and all that, you know, the fans and how they feel and the players and what happens next and where do you go from here and officiating. Yeah, it's great for the game.
Now, this text is going to come in. I bet this will come in a few times from Vikings fans. This is karma for the Saints for what happened in 2009, right? Where the Vikings and the Saints, it was actually 2010, but it was after the 2009 season, whether it was the bounty situation, the horrible pass interference call in Ben Lieber. Yeah, that was terrible. And I get how Vikings fans feel that way, but I don't think that buffers the Saints at all. Mm-mm. Not at all. Okay, let's do this. I want to pause here. I want to stay somewhat on schedule. Keep going. Here's another one. I'm a proud Minnesota feeling good today. It's karma. Yep. Doesn't change anything, though. Vikings didn't go to the Super Bowl that year. The Saints did go to the Super Bowl that year. They did win a Super Bowl, and they should be going to the Super Bowl again this year. Okay, a little bit more on this game and a little bit on the Patriots and the Chiefs. We're going to talk NFL multiple times today. We got a lot of good stuff. We'll get into politics. We'll get into nonsense. Shaletta with me, Chad Hartman here on WCCO. Keep those texts coming at 81807. All right, we're going to stay just on the Saints for this part. We'll get to Patriots and Chiefs because that was amazing also. Well, text me, by the way, on this, and then you chime in first, Shaletta.
Okay.
81807. Which was the more memorable game to watch? The Saints and Rams game took a while to get going and then had the call that if you're a fan of sports, you're going to remember forever. Because I'm just giving you a text, and I'm just going to say, to quote the Levitard show, you just don't get the show. Your complaint about yesterday's doesn't change anything either. I don't see your point. That's why people care about events. That's why Twitter exists. That's why talk radio exists. Because people like to either hear opinions or something should happen and we should never talk about it again. You should never listen to the show again. Okay, so you just don't get it. Okay, just you, they, whoever it is. The situation with the Patriots and the Chiefs, it was just a clinic for Belichick and Brady until the fourth quarter when Mahomes was what he is. He's the best player in football. Pat Mahomes is the best player in football. But this run by the Patriots will never be topped. To have 5 fourth quarter lead changes, to have 38 points in the fourth quarter, the overtime controversy. So if you had to pick which game is the more memorable game? It's a hard call.
It is, because they were both so good. You can't say, well, this one went into overtime and that one didn't, because they both went into overtime.
First time ever.
Oh, my God. I can't call it. If I had to call it, I would say the Saints.
It's very hard to call.
I would say the Saints, because when you watch the Patriots, you expect them to win. So no matter what, you kind of have that in the back of your mind, like, oh, they're going to win. But with the Saints, you really didn't know. So it had you kind of on the edge of your seat.
Because this is one of those, I could talk out of this side of my mouth. I could talk about that side of my mouth for both. I'm going to lean. God, I don't even know which way to. This is the last thing you do in talk radio. You should know exactly. You should sell it. Both of them are amazing. Both of them are going to be games you're going to remember. For the single moment, I think it is the Saints call because it was so awful. But it adds to it in the other game where you have the new emerging king in Pat Mahomes, who does things I've never seen a quarterback do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Against the guy who's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
In Brady and 9 of 18. When the whole system is set up with money and draft choices where you can't do it forever. So in the shortest amount of time, I'd say the Saints. I think long term we'll look back at the Brady Mahomes matchup.
Yeah.
Maybe more historically that mm-hmm. way. That's my way of checking both boxes. Now, here's part of what I'm hearing a lot last night and today on the horrible call involving the Saints. Even the guy who did it said, oh, for sure I pass interfered. I love that. He said, yeah, of course I did. What? Now, there is, like Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk pointed out, that there is a rule where if Roger Goodell wanted to step in and wanted to start the game over again from that point on, he could. What if they announced that today? I am the commissioner of the league. Hello, it's Roger Goodell. I know the world hates me. We're going to pick up that game right where it was because the call was so bad. But what I heard from a lot of people, Shaletta, mm-hmm. was the officials had to get together and the other officials on the field had to say, what the bleep is wrong with you clowns? That was such an interference.
Yeah.
And now throw the flag. That doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
It maybe happens where you throw the flag. And then they get together.
Right.
But not you get together and 3 minutes later they throw the flag. Then it would have been shut the league down.
Yeah.
Because that would have just been the boys from New York saying, what are you doing, you morons?
Mm-hmm.
There was a penalty. You just can't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, who dat? I mean, and I'm not Sean Payton is such a pompous clown. I don't mind the agony he's in. Would an interference call have ended the game and guaranteed a win basically it would have, okay, because now they get first down inside the 10. They could have milked the clock. They could have just taken a knee, pulled it all the way down to about 4 seconds, kicked it, so it would have ended the game. A texter saying the NFL needs to switch the college OT system. Let's get to the OT and the flip a coin controversy involving the Patriots and Chiefs game, because that involves a fair amount of conversation. We'll do that next hour, because we're going to pause right here for traffic and weather, and I'm going to get back to what is taking place with the Jordan basketball team off what happened last week, and now the decision to not come to a tournament here on MLK Day. We'll get to that with Larry McKenzie from Minneapolis North in a matter of moments here on WCCO. Okay, I'll reread from a Paul Wall story in the Star Tribune, because Paul, who cranks out stories on a regular basis for the Trib, I think he captures this very well, and then we can jump in and chat with Larry McKenzie, the successful coach from Minneapolis North. Here's from Paul's story in the Tribune today. The fallout is continuing from last week's dispute over a Trump reelection flag being displayed by fans of Jordan High School at a boys basketball game during his game against visiting Minneapolis Roosevelt. Jordan has pulled out an invitational basketball event scheduled for today, MLK Day, obviously, being hosted by Minneapolis Roosevelt. Jordan was to have played Minneapolis Patrick Henry. Larry McKenzie is kind enough to join us, the head coach at Minneapolis North. And you know my screen is locked in, Shaletta, so I need you to punch up, Larry. That'd be great. I appreciate that. Larry, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. When you first learned about what took place last week at Jordan High School, what was your initial reaction?
Well, you know, I mean, so I have to be honest. I mean, initially, you know, my question was really what was trying to be communicated. You know, I mean, obviously, I don't think the situation with, the flag and Make America Great Again is something that probably had been done before. So it, you know, there was probably some intentions about sending a message, you know, to Roosevelt High School.
Yep.
And, you know, probably in the sense of intimidating and that kind of stuff. And it just, you know, unfortunate, I mean, Chad, because I see it as kind of a, you know, it's almost like, you know, we're turning back the hands of time. Yeah. In terms of what's going on. The other side of it is, though, you know, I mean, it's the beauty of living in this country around freedom of speech and being able to express, you know, oneself. And, I mean, I've been other places around the world where people don't have those opportunities. And so sometimes while we may disagree and we may not like it, I mean, it is – you know, one of the things that make this country different than many places around the world.
Well, let me just bounce off this idea, and this is part of what I said last week, Larry. I go, I don't know 100% what was in the mind of the heart of the kids at Jordan who did this. But here's what I do know. In the last 2 years, and really even 2.5 years, including when candidate Trump was running, too many times it has popped up. When it's primarily at a school where it's made up of more whites than people of color, and then a team comes and there's greater diversity on the team, and all of a sudden out of nowhere there's a flag either for the president or for candidate Trump. And I, again, don't know the mind and heart of every time that happens, but this wasn't happening before. I don't get why any candidate or president should have a banner at an event where it's a high school competition. You may love the president, you may have disdain for the president, but this is happening. And act like this hasn't been a bit of a direct physical or mental or visual shot at people of color who are coming to these arenas, to me, is rather naive to suggest that.
Yeah, and you know, Chad, I mean, you also have to ask the question, right? Because obviously games are supervised by adults, you know what I'm saying, in terms of the people that was in charge. I mean, as soon as that was recognized, I mean, why wasn't there some appropriate action, taken. And to your point, I mean, you know, let's be fair about this, right? Could you imagine? I mean, let's turn the tides. Had a, you know, our state team arrived at Roosevelt or Patrick Henry or, you know, any of the city schools, and, you know, there would have been a large contingent of folks around Black Lives Matter. I mean, we remember all the upheaval last year in regards to Colin Kaepernick and, you know, kids not standing for the flag. And so the sadness about this is that, you know, if it matters on one side, it has to matter on the other side. I think the biggest thing is the unfortunate thing about this, and I posted this quote yesterday, you know, one of the beauties of sports is and Nelson Mandela said that, you know, sports has had the ability, right, to eliminate a lot of the challenges around race relations and all those kind of things. And I think it's unfortunate by the decision of the Jordan athletic department not to allow those kids to participate in the MLK Classic. I mean, this is truly an opportunity for life lessons. You know what I'm saying? And so are we messaging? What are we really messaging to our young people when we go on the defensive in regards to this incident instead of really saying, you know, what a perfect in this sign of times and all of the stuff that we have going on. This was certainly an opportunity, you know what I'm saying, to not only include the basketball game, but to bring both of those teams or teams together and have a discussion about race relations, you know what I'm saying, and how do we make our country better and those kind of things. So I think we missed an opportunity to use it as a teaching moment versus to go into defensive mode and to draw a line in the sand and, you know, and I'm really afraid of the repercussions because what other teams are not going to want to now as we look at scheduling. So Minneapolis City Schools, what teams are not going to want to play because of these kind of incidents? I mean, you know, and they won't even extend an opportunity to come out to those, to play the outstate schools. So I think there could be a lot more to this than just this isolated incident.
You know Henry well. You coached there from 97 to 06. Let me get to this part of the story. The Henry coach, Jameel Jackson, said event organizers have been told that Jordan High School was fearful something might happen to their players if they came to Roosevelt to play, calling that totally unjustifiable. Do you think they should have had any fear whatsoever?
Absolutely not. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. And so, again, from the adults, I mean, whoever's making this decision should have certainly said that was nonsense. I mean, obviously, to be honest with you, there would probably be a lot of precaution to make sure that there was no incident and anything happened, and those kids would have been, you know, really watched and protected. So, again, I think you missed an opportunity. And Ted, that's one of the things that we have to deal with oftentimes. People don't understand for us is how hard it is. You know, I rarely will get teams that want to come play us at Minneapolis North, or even when I was at Minneapolis Henry, at night. You know what I'm saying? And so it just perpetuates the stereotypes and all of those other kinds of things. I mean, I wondered, did they feel that when Roosevelt traveled to Jordan, should have the Roosevelt kids or staff felt that, you know, I mean, even based with the flag, I mean, did they take safety precautions, security precautions? Should those kids have felt unsafe in that environment?
Right. So let me pick up on what you just said. So when you've coached at Henry for as long as you did, now North, are there schools that flat out will tell you we are fearful of coming to either location at night, or is it just you believe that's the reason why they're not coming?
No, absolutely, Chad. I've seen copies of text messages that go out to parents saying, be careful, we're playing Minneapolis North today, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I mean, we've had teams that tell us outright, coach, you know, you can come out and play us. But, yes, I mean, it happens. And I can tell you I've dealt with it for 20 years.
Larry McKenzie with us, Patrick Henry for 9-plus years, Minneapolis North now, 2013. The continuing fallout with Jordan and Patrick Henry and what took place with a game that was scheduled, what happened with Minneapolis Roosevelt, also with this game scheduled. Let me ask you this, because I'm getting the text again where some people are mad that when Henry played last week, that they were in the locker room for the national anthem, whereas at home they come out for a different song before the games. Obviously, this has been a national story. Colin Kaepernick, Marshawn Lynch, and others. What is your feeling about the decision that the folks at Henry have made this year, maybe other years of late, about when they come out and when they don't come out for the anthem?
You know what I mean? That, so, you know, I can't speak on what Henry does. I know that, you know, at Minneapolis North, I mean, we still play the national anthem. Our kids stand for the song. I mean, you know, and again, I mean, what people got to, and I hope that those same people that are responding about Henry not coming out and playing, you know, the playing of the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, if they're upset with that, they have to be upset with the situation in Georgia. Two wrongs cannot make a right. And right. That, I mean, to me, and that's where we, so it's okay for what happened in Jordan, and that's justified because Henry does not come out for the national anthem. You know what I'm saying? And so those are again, to me, opportunities for both sides. How do we take those things and build on them? How do we have discussions about, you know, breaking down barriers? And that's been the beauty of sports. And so I think it's a missed opportunity. And to be honest with you, you know, I keep saying this. Our biggest problems are not our young people. It's not our kids. It's the adults. Because it's the adults that are now drawing the line in the sand and are making these decisions for the young folks. And so instead of figuring out a way, how do we have some discussions and try to begin to resolve some of these things, now we're continuing to say, you know, we're just taking sides. And that's not gonna bring anybody closer in regards to race relations or any other kinds of issues that we currently have in this country.
So if we would have had the game today, which I would have preferred also, and you would have had the kids shake hands before the game and act like this is a normal game, or maybe even make it unique in how they greeted each other, what sort of statement do you think that would have sent?
I think that would have spoke volumes. You know what I'm saying? I think this was – so, you know, we've had a – like, for example, I mean, we've had a long relationship with, like, Rushford Peterson and Caledonia who comes down to our school. We travel out to them. You know, every opportunity we get, not only do we play the game, but our kids – both whether they're in Minneapolis or Rushford Peterson, you know, we have a meal together. We use that as an opportunity of not just competing against one another, but letting our kids get to know each other. You know, because of those relationships, I mean, a few years ago, our kids got to go on a dairy farm. Our kids, you know, got to do some unique things that they never would have had. And so we've used the game of basketball, you know, and I think I'm thankful for Coach King and Coach Vic and those guys that we have those kind of relationships. And of course, I mean, you still have people that come to the game. I hear it in the stands and all of that kind of stuff. But to me, I'm not judging the coach and his team based on fans or people from that community. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's their beliefs. And so I just think it would have been an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Not only are we going to play the game, but afterwards we're going to go down and sit down for pizza, and we're going to talk about what happened and how that made us feel and why we felt that way, right? And in the end, you know, an hour, 2 hours later, everybody's going to be better for it. And so I think it was a missed opportunity.
Last thing here for you, Larry. Larry McKenzie with us now at North, at Patrick Henry for a long time. This is where the tournament was going to be. This is still the fallout from Jordan and Roosevelt. How concerned are you for your team, for Jordan, for Roosevelt, and for what might happen the rest of the high school boys' basketball season? Because we're sitting here in early January. We got months still to go about other messages that may be sent. Not as much by the players, because I'm really not worried about that at all, and I defer to you on that, but from other people, other adults, who might take this in the wrong direction.
Chad, I think we're on the same page. I'm concerned definitely for, you know, I mean, you know, we've got games coming up with Washika, I mean, that's going to be played at Norris. And, you know, certainly we're going to be in communication with the coach about, you know, how to, you know, avoid some of these kinds of things as that game is approaching. But, no, I think you have to be concerned. I mean, if you're a Minneapolis school, city school, you know, and you're looking to go out state and play in those games, I mean, you have to be concerned about how the community is going to respond, who's going to come out. And again, like you said, not the kids, but for the adults. So I think it's going to require some discussions, you know, on both teams or around security and how those things are handled. Because I think there's some folks that, you know, will use this as an opportunity to have their 15 minutes of fame, as people would say.
Larry, really good stuff. I appreciate the insight. We'll stay in touch. I wish you the best of luck on the court, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it.
Larry McKenzie knows this topic very well, formerly at Henry from 97-06, now with North since 2013, and it's a topic we'll continue to follow. If you want to chime in on a text, you certainly can. 81807-8187. I'll give you Linda's construction time check in a moment, but Shaletta, let's give people a chance to win $1,000 right now. The keyword for cash, again, remember, this is a national contest. We played here locally also. The keyword for cash is Daisy. D-A-I-S-Y. D-A-I-S-Y. Text away to 72881. 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Again, the word is Daisy. We will play once again at 1:50. I'll give you the Linus construction time check when we come back. We're here on a Monday, an MLK day on WCCO. By the way, that pack, they can run a little better lately. Barely beat the Suns yesterday. Lost to San Antonio without their best player. Got destroyed by Philly, so we'll see what the Wolves do with the very rare back-to-back situation. This time the Wolves in Phoenix. I'm betting my guy, Jim Pete, somewhere on a golf course in the Scottsdale area right now. And yes, that is me sounding jealous because I would like to be on a golf course right now in Scottsdale. I love you, Shaletta. I'm having fun with you.
I was going to say, I mean, you got all this and you won't just walk away from it?
Yeah, if I could play golf in Scottsdale. I'd like you to come with, you know.
Turn your back on me.
Yeah.
It's cold-blooded. It's
cold-blooded. All right, we're getting a number of texts here, and I want to give a little bit more time to the text or to the phone calls. We'll get to this when we come back. Again, what happened off Roosevelt and Jordan last week. Where do you stand on that? And now Jordan's saying, we're not coming to a game where they're going to play Patrick Henry with Roosevelt hosting the tourney. What do you think about how this is all played out? I'll chime in again on my view, as I did with Larry, as I did last week. You chime in right now, 81807.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.